Checking in with Quincy, School Committee Vice Chair Anthony Andronico, to get an update on what active school is going to look like in Quincy in September. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. It's getting down to crunch time, and I know that the school committee is extremely busy with not only determining this back-to-school plan, but also interviewing all the superintendent candidates. Where do we stand right now?
Right. You know, we do joke. You know, I've seen my colleagues more than probably at any other time, and you know, they're fantastic and all. But I think I'm ready to not see them multiple times a week for the foreseeable future. But you know, we've been hard at work. You know, we're focused on a reopening plan, which we just selected last night. It was a pretty long meeting, and last night we also had our final superintendent interview. So, you know, each of those items has been would be monumental tasks in and of themselves, but to have them coincide with each other has been challenging at times. But I think maybe we'll touch upon the reopening plans and talk about that to start. So the committee voted on a 4-3 vote to go hybrid for our high needs students, so our special education and English language learners. Students would be in person under the hybrid model, and students in grades pre-K to 3 are also going to use that hybrid model. And when I say hybrid, I mean specifically the plans laid out on the website under the comprehensive reopening plan options. So they're gonna go with that hybrid. Grades 4 and above are going to do full remote under that plan. So that's effectively where we're at. And just to give folks an understanding of what I mean when I say hybrid or the in-person for special education, I'm actually just going to quickly share my screen so that people can see what I'm talking about here. So right here, you know, just under the hybrid learning model, special education and English language learners, you know, we're talking about substantially separate programs that are in person every day, effectively exactly what we're doing right now with our summer programming. You know, we got, we'll call it anecdotal feedback from the teachers and the families that were a part of this. Actually, the teachers had grouped together and provided that information, you know, very proactively to the administration, and, you know, said, here are some of the lessons learned. Here's what I think we did well. But overall, I have confidence in the safety of those programs, the efficacy of these programs, particularly with the in-person for the special education students. So, you know, it's very challenging to try to settle on a model, but this is ultimately what we chose. So I think I'm going to stop sharing the screen now. But that's what you should expect when I say in person but hybrid for special education and English language. And then the other part of it is, you know, we're using the hybrid model for pre-K to 3, which effectively is cohort A is Monday and Tuesday. Cohort B is Thursday and Friday in person. Wednesday is all remote. And when you're not in person, you'll also have remote days. You know, and just for folks at home, those that are affected by this, that have students in those groupings, you do have the option to opt out and do full remote. It's very straightforward. And I know for our educators and our teachers that, you know, are being asked to go back. Anyone that has, is under a high risk population and has a credible doctor's note, or rather just a doctor's note, you know, explaining that condition, they will be part of a full remote learning team and we'll go from there. You know, we as a committee had looked at what some other communities were doing. We looked at the map and the data that the state had put out regarding what districts should do, you know, regarding a reopening. Quincy is in the zone defined by the state that says we should be doing full hybrid. you know, for everyone. We had, I think, some reservations about doing, a full hybrid return, mainly with the high school level and the amount of potential, we'll call it crossover. You know, we're talking cohorts that are in multiple classes and just the number of people that you would interact with at the high school level, at least initially, gave us or me some pause. And it gave my colleagues some pause as well. You know, we thought that our current understanding of the information that's out there regarding community spread or transmission rates is that those that are aged 10 and under is statistically and significantly lower than if you're, you know, 11 and above. So that also came into why, you know, the committee selected, you know, up to grade 3. And I understand that's not going to make a lot of sense for people. Like, well, why just up to grade 3? Why not 4 and 5? That's effectively why. And that's what we've been hearing from our public health officials. So that's sort of what it went into it. You know, I've heard from more people than ever about this particular topic. And as I mentioned at the meeting, for every person that says, I want you to pick full hybrid, we get someone that says, I want you to pick full remote. This is a decision that was frankly excruciating. It's, honestly, I hope I never have to make as difficult as that again. I really don't. But we've selected the plan. I'm going to support the will of the committee. And that's what we're moving forward with. And I know folks are going to have some concerns and obviously questions. And we are here to facilitate those answers with the administration and school committee members. You know, our job is to advocate. Our job is to make sure you're getting the answers to the questions that you have. And we're going to do our best with that. And I know already, you know, some people said, well, when are other grades going back? What are we going to do? So what we had voted on essentially is we're going to meet every week in September, beginning September 9th, to reevaluate and, you know, get further information on the public health data, better analyze trends. And, you know, the data that the state had put out in the guidelines did come out about 48 hours before the vote. Not a lot of time to analyze if their metrics are okay, if they align with what our public, very local public health officials and Ruth Jones are telling us. So we're going to work through that. We're going to work through some more clear metrics that we're going to need to meet. But I think everyone understands this is a very fluid situation. You know, things can change in an instant. We need to be able to have that flexibility. You know, if things go away, let's say there's a vaccine, you know, tomorrow, and people get it in Quincy and it's worked, you know, then why would we say such and such a cohort or grouping, let's say high school students, isn't even going to go back until, you know, the end of next year? So there needs to be adjustments. I know other communities set specific dates that said no sooner than. We thought it was in the best interest of QPS that we maintained as much flexibility as possible, and communicated that we're going to meet as much as we feasibly can moving forward so that we can make the adjustments that make sense for us.
I know that you and two of your colleagues voted against this current plan, Anthony. What would you have liked to have seen?
I would have preferred to scale back specifically to essentially just the high needs students, and so special ed and ELL. You know, reasoning for that is I just wanted some further clarification on exactly when all of the ventilation and filtration efforts will be completed by. You know, we did get significant assurances that it would be done by the beginning of the school year. But, you know, I certainly know when it comes to HVAC and really dealing with school buildings that there are hiccups that are involved. It happens. But I think now that we know we need to focus mainly on, you know, these elementary schools, and you sort of have more time, and with middle and high school, that, you know, the team will be able to pull together and get the job done, you know, absolutely by September 16th or really September 8th when teachers start to go back. So that week of prep there. So that came into play, and, you know, I would have liked to have maybe a bit more discussion on the metrics that we're using. But with that said, you know, I'll support the will of the committee. We're a deliberative body, you know, and 4-3 vote is still a majority. That's how it works. But I know my colleagues and I are very committed over the next few weeks and into September about developing that criteria, working with our teachers to make sure that they feel safe and understand we're doing absolutely everything we can to make this a safe and responsible return. And I think we'll be able to achieve that. I really don't have any qualms about it. But I just, to a certain point, you know, would have liked to touch more information is all. But the deadline is today. It's August 14th to send in a plan and to the state, and that's how it goes.
How will parents know which cohort their child falls into? You know, how is that information going to be conveyed?
So actually, today, Interim Superintendent Mulvey and the administration should be sending out that communication with further information, effectively saying, here's the reopening plan. If you have questions, reach out. But we need an idea and a commitment from parents about which, if they're going to stay full remote or if they're going to go back under the hybrid model or not. And then from there, you know, you break it out by just alphabetically, you know, you say like A through K, and then, you know, the second half are your two cohorts. But really, first, you need a reading on how many students would even want to come back in a hybrid before we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about transportation, Anthony? Was that discussed? How will that be dealt with?
Yes, that was discussed, and I'm just trying to double check to find it in the plan here. But effectively, it's following the same social distancing guidelines, getting a better grasp on who's coming back, who needs transportation. And to a certain extent, it's a chicken and the egg situation. You know, we don't know how many buses we're going to need because we don't know how many students are coming back. And then beyond that, how many students that are coming back need that transportation? So all of these things come into play, but we're going to sort that out over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. And I'm assuming that for kids that are back, proper social distancing, face masks, hand washing, those types of things?
Yes. Everything that you had mentioned and more cleaning protocols. We moved the half days to Wednesdays, and that's when full cleaning is taking place. And then this is all listed in the comprehensive plan that is posted on the QPS website. But the time and effort that went into making this plan to make sure that it was a safe and clean place and that those protocols are followed is just astounding. So I really appreciate the work of the team. And not only that, but there's you know, a lot of professional development that's planned on health and safety protocols for teachers, on the use of technology for teachers, and we even have some stuff for parents too, so that they can just get a feel for how this is going to work.
Okay, is there a protocol in place if somebody tests positive, a student or a teacher or a staff member? What happens?
Yeah, so I mean, we went through that the summer program. We did have someone test positive within the first week. My understanding is just even with the incubation period, it's more likely than not that they got it from outside of that space. But, you know, when talking with Ruth Jones quite extensively, not at this meeting, but the previous one, effectively it depends. It depends if that person is presumptive positive or if they're confirmed positive. It depends how many people they came into contact with. It depends how long they came into contact with these people. Really, it's a case-by-case basis. But what I do want folks to know is that there's a very clear coordination of a response effort between our local public health department and Quincy Public Schools, and that partnership of communicating, the contract tracing, and making sure we are doing exactly by the you know, the book that's been written in the last few months, exactly what we should do as far as quarantining, as far as making sure that we don't, you know, cause community spread. That's what's in place. And, you know, every situation is different and unique with a different set of circumstances. So that's why there's not really a one-size-fits-all approach, but that's where we're at.
Will there be, you know, after-school activities, athletics? What will be happening with those?
So they're going to look a little bit different. You know, for the most part, I think we're still waiting on guidance regarding athletics from the state. It's, you know, to a certain extent, it's been a little bit of, you know, just dripping of information from the state. But my understanding is we just need a touch more guidance from them for us to better understand what after school care exactly will look like. I do know that we had talked about after school care and just student supports, wellness and social and emotional support, and going from there. So that's, you know, we're still looking at it and trying to figure out exactly what it will look like. But we're definitely looking into it.
When will the first day of school be, Anthony? Was that determined?
September 16th.
Which is a Wednesday, actually.
It is, yes. So the first day, oddly enough, will be full remote. So that it falls on that day. Okay. We got to look at it.
Okay. And full remote, I mean, will that look like a school day? Will there be an actual structure to that?
Yes, it'll be full synchronous. So everyone will be on, you know, a Google Meet. There are mask breaks built. Well, for a regular day, there are mask breaks built in. There are social and emotional breaks built in. That's pretty much, you know, how it works. But it'll look like a more regular school day. There are breakdowns of the proposed schedule for the elementary level there on the comprehensive plan. So effectively, yeah, it will look like a more regular school day. And when we talk about remote learning from the spring and remote learning from the fall are worlds apart as far as rigor, as far as structure, and I think accountability. And that works both for students and for our staff.
In terms of lunch breaks, there was talk of not using the cafeterias. Is that still the plan?
Right. Students will eat in their classroom.
Okay. And recess, how will that be handled?
It's going to look a little bit different. Yeah. That's for certain. I'm just double checking to find the schedule here so that I can better speak to it.
Yeah.
My understanding with the elementary level here, just to bring it up, let's see, my middle school, and there, I'll look at my grade four sample cohort. But effectively, it's 30 minutes, you know, for lunch / recess.
Okay.
And you still have to follow the guidelines for, you know, playing outdoors and recess. You're still going to have to be spaced out. You're probably still going to have to wear a mask at that point, unless you can absolutely guarantee that no one's going to get potentially within 6 feet. So even the activities that we're going to have to, say are acceptable are going to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
Our principals are still working on that at the elementary level, and the admins, you know, working on what is recess actually going to look like for these kids.
Okay. I'm sure you're aware the Quincy Teachers Union was advocating for full remote learning. So are they on board with this version?
Well, I mean, I don't want to speak for them, you know, but I think that in general, you know, this is a situation where you're developing plans and you don't know how things are going to go. There's just in general, this trepidation, this nervousness, and I get it. I absolutely understand that. But it's balancing the educational needs of our students, in particular our high needs and our youngest students, you know, with our confidence in being able to deliver a plan safely and responsibly, and making sure that we slowly roll a few things out. So I don't want to get too into you know, how the union may feel. You know, they can speak for themselves on that. I can really only speak for myself and communicate what school committee has projected.
Sure. Okay. As you're well aware, Anthony, there's a push on Beacon Hill to suspend the MCAS test requirements. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think for this upcoming year, I would absolutely support it. I mean, I from the potential, you know, not the potential, but just straight up the learning challenges from this year that we're trying to make up for now when we're still not back full in person. You know, it's how are you going to ask someone to take a test that decides whether or not they graduate high school in this situation? I think that the testing rates are just, it's not something we should be looking into. We shouldn't have the MCAS in this spring. I do think that testing is important. I do think that maybe adjustments should be made on how we test. But I'll just say for this upcoming year, I would caution the state against going forward with a plan like that.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Anthony. Does remote learning and the fact that it can happen and be somewhat effective make snow days a thing of the past?
Yeah, we had talked about that. It came up at the meeting last night. It very well could. You know, we can pivot and say, hey, it's going to be a snow day tomorrow. Everyone's remote. And then, you know, we don't have to dip even further into next summer for people. But yeah, it's a very real possibility. I think we're still figuring out how that would work, how would communication go. So, but it's absolutely on the table.
I know a lot of kids are not going to like me for asking that.
I understand. I definitely understand that. They, likewise, you know, they're not going to like me for suggesting that it's on the table.
anything else you should touch on? I thought we should just focus on the reopening plan right now. Obviously, the superintendent search should be the next big decision for the committee.
Right. Yeah. No, I, as always, you know, folks have questions, and I know people do. I know that. And I know a lot of folks aren't necessarily happy with the plan that we chose or even my view. I understand that. But we're asking folks to, you know, Please be flexible and understand that this was an incredibly difficult decision. And I know that there are ramifications for any plan that we could have possibly selected. But, you know, we're always here to listen and have a conversation. But, you know, those plans are on the QPS website. You can always reach out to me, reach out to any of my colleagues, reach out to the administration, you know, to have some of those conversations. And to your point, Joe, yeah, I think during our next check-in, we will have selected our next superintendent of Quincy Public Schools, and we have three incredibly qualified candidates. And you know, I'm still working through exactly who you know who the best choice for QPS is. But we'll talk more about that, I think, at our next check-in.
Absolutely, sounds like we're going to have plenty of opportunities to be talking.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we will.
Thanks so much, Anthony.
Thank you, Joe. Bye bye.